Please have a seat so we can get started. My name is Lou Priolo. I will be your instructor for the next hour as we take a look at helping people with obsessions and compulsions. All right, well, let me begin by giving you some interesting items about OCD. OCD is the fourth most commonly diagnosed psychiatric disorder. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, approximately 1 in 50 people have OCD. About 2% of the U.S. population, that's about 3.3 million Americans, have OCD in a given year. And some estimates are actually as high as 5 million Americans. And many more are thought to have OCD symptoms less severe to qualify for DSM-IV diagnosis. People with OCD generally lose 3 years' wages over the course of a lifetime. OCD usually begins in teen and early adult years, although its onset can really begin at any age. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, it affects men and women equally. It's often accompanied with or by depression, and the cause is still unknown. Now, what I'd like us to do first is to take a look at the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of the American Psychiatric Association, not because we are going to buy into everything they say about this, but just to understand how the American Psychiatric Association looks at this. I really hesitate to call it a disorder. Let's just say it's a syndrome. You know the difference between a syndrome and a disorder? Syndrome is a cluster of symptoms for which there is no known cause or reason. And so that's really what we are dealing with here. Okay, so according to the DSM-IV, you have to have either obsessions or compulsions, and the obsessions are defined by these four things. First of all, recurrent and persistent thoughts, impulses, or images that are experienced at some time during the disturbance as intrusive and inappropriate and that caused marked anxiety or distress. The person attempts to ignore or suppress such thoughts, impulses, or images, or to neutralize them with some other thought or action. Again, according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the American Psychiatric Association, the thoughts, impulses, or images are not simply excessive worries about real-life problems. As we'll see, I think they are excessive worries, but whether or not they're about real-life problems is debatable. And fourthly, the person recognizes that the obsessional thoughts, impulses, or images are the product of his or her own mind. And that's held over against sort of like thought insertion. In other words, imposed from outside of the individual. They have a different diagnostic criteria for that, or a different label for that, I should say. All right. Now, what about compulsions? Compulsions are defined as repetitive behaviors such as hand washing, ordering or checking, or mental acts such as praying or counting or repeating words silently that a person feels driven to perform in response to an obsession according to rules that must be rigidly applied. And secondly, the behaviors or mental acts are aimed at preventing or reducing distress or preventing some dreaded event or situation. However, these behaviors or mental acts either are not connected in a realistic way with what they're designed to neutralize or prevent, or they are clearly excessive. Maybe there is a connection, but the ritual that the person uses is and the frequency with which, for example, he checks something is way out of kilter with the likelihood that there really is a problem, or that the problem will be neutralized. It will take so many repetitive acts in order to neutralize the problem. Now, at some point in the course of the disorder, again, according to the DSM-4, at some point according to the book, during the course of the disorder, the person has recognized that the obsessions or compulsions are excessive or unreasonable, right? So he knows that doesn't make sense what he's doing. He recognizes that there's something wrong with the fact that he's obsessing and that he's got these rituals that he's doing in order to deal with his anxiety. And then the obsessions or compulsions cause marked distress, are times consuming, and this is more than 1 hour a day. In other words, according to the American Psychiatric Association, you have these things going on for more than 1 hour a day, that will qualify you to win this label. Obsessions or compulsions are caused by marked distress, are time consuming, more than 1 hour a day, or significantly interfere with the person's normal routine, occupation, or academic function, or usual social activities or relationships. Now, the American Psychiatric Association doesn't have the corner on OCD. There's another organization called the World Health Organization, and they have their own diagnostic and statistical manual of sorts. And so I want to just read for you a little bit of how they diagnose it. Okay, so this is maybe Europe. This is a different way of categorizing the same, what did we say it was? Syndrome. All right. According to the World Health Organization, the essential feature of this disorder is recurrent obsessional thoughts or compulsive acts. Obsessional thoughts are ideas, images, or impulses that enter the individual's mind again and again in a stereotyped form. They are most invariably distressing because they are almost invariably distressing because they are violent or obscene, or simply because they are perceived as senseless, and the sufferer often tries unsuccessfully to resist them. They are, however, recognized as the individual's own thoughts, even though they are involuntary and often repugnant. Compulsive acts or rituals are stereotyped behavior that are repeated again and again. They are not inherently enjoyable, nor do they result in the completion of inherently useful tasks. The individual often views them as preventing some objectively unlikely event, often involving harm to or caused by himself or another. Usually, though, not invariably, this behavior is recognized by the individual as pointless or ineffectual, and repeated attempts are made to resist it. Then the diagnostic guidelines for the World Health Organization for obsessive compulsive disorder. For a definite diagnosis, obsessional symptoms or compulsive acts or both must be present on most days for at least two successive weeks and must be a source of distress or interference with activities. The obsessional symptoms should have the following characteristics. There are four of them. First, they must be recognized as the individual's own thoughts or impulses. Again, not thought insertion. Second, there must be at least one thought or act that is still resisted unsuccessfully, even though others may be present. Other thoughts, in other words, may be present, which the sufferer no longer resists. So he may have lots of thoughts going through his head. According to this criteria, he may have like five thoughts going through his head, but he's sort of thrown in the towel on four of them, but he's still trying to resist one. He's fighting one, and he's sort of decided not to fight the others. Third, the thought of carrying out the act must not in itself be pleasurable. In other words, the ritual that the individual does in order to really, as we'll see in a moment, keep what he's afraid is going to happen from happening is not something that ordinarily brings pleasure to people. Now, again, there's a parenthesis here. It says, simple relief of tension or anxiety is not regarded as pleasure. In other words, a person who cuts himself or pulls his hair or whatever, you know, counts something, there's nothing in and of itself in that activity that's pleasurable, even though temporarily it seems to give him relief from the anxiety or the tension. You with me? Okay. And fourth, the thoughts, images, or impulses must be unpleasantly repetitive.